Among gaming, tourism, and tech, another industry is booming within the shadows of Northern Nevada. A new report from the Human Sex Trafficking Initiative shows that the commercial sex industry is thriving in Reno, which impacts communities from Lake Tahoe to Fernley. Reno Public Radio's Noah Glick spoke with one of the researchers to learn more. And a word of warning, this interview does contain language that could be considered graphic to some listeners.
Krista Price is the co-director of the Human Trafficking Initiative, a study that looks into commercial sex advertising. Reno is near the top of the list nationwide. Krista, thanks for joining me. First, just tell me about the project and what you looked for.
So the Human Trafficking Initiative is a grant-based project. We are a team of data scientists at Creighton University. What we do is we try to find the scope of sex trafficking across the United States. And also, we look at some policy solutions. So the first step of trying to get data on sex trafficking, since data is pretty much impossible to come by, is we try to get as much information as possible about the commercial sex industry as a whole. The overwhelming majority of the industry is online, and most of that is on Backpage.
And what is Backpage for folks who may not know that?
Backpage is a website that I always describe as like a sketchier version of Craigslist. It can be used to advertise, let's say, like a couch that you want to sell, but it's pretty notorious for its commercial sex industry content.
Before we get too much into the report, what's the difference between sex trafficking and prostitution?
The difference there lies in the degree of agency that's involved. So if it is a minor that is in the commercial sex industry, then they are a trafficking victim. For adults who are in the commercial sex industry, if they are in the industry as a result of force, fraud, or coercion, then they are a trafficking victim. The data that we have produced in this study is on the commercial sex industry as a whole.
In the report, it does mention that sex trafficking is embedded in Reno. Just how embedded is sex trafficking in the Reno area?
What we can say is that the commercial sex industry is very embedded in Reno. Actually, looking across nationally, Reno is in the top 6.5% in terms of the per capita number of individuals that are advertised for sex. And then Nevada itself is the number one state when it comes to per capita number of individuals that are advertised for sex. So when speaking about the commercial sex industry, we can say that there is something very unique about this area. Now, trying to drill down to determine if the proportion of victims to non-victims in Reno, is that more than in other areas? That's something that this study did not go into.
Let me just ask then, how does the commercial sex industry sort of feed into the sex trafficking part of that?
So, like, the supply of sex, it's made up of voluntary and involuntary, right? Where involuntary is trafficking. And what we see generally is that there's not enough voluntary supply in our country to meet the demand. And so what often happens is you see these third parties, traffickers, pimps that will groom these individuals to enter the industry and will make a profit off of that. We do know that the girls on Backpage, well, girls in the commercial sex industry in general, they tend to enter into the industry at a very young age. And so when you enter at a young age, and if that's underage, then that's a situation of trafficking. A lot goes into this industry. Since it's an illicit industry, figuring out how to navigate, finding clients, booking hotel rooms, advertising, dealing with all of those aspects of it, it often involves a third party, some sort of a facilitator, like a pimp or a madam, or an escort agency. And when there's a lot of vulnerability that's involved, it often can turn into a situation where they take advantage of the sort of difference in the power relationship there. And so that's sort of the natural, I guess, story that we often hear from survivors of how that happened to them. They were groomed by someone to enter the industry, thought it would be one thing, and then their pimp sort of started really taking advantage of them and forcing them into situations where they started to realize that they didn't really have the agency that they once thought that they had.
You did mention part of the goal of this report is to recommend policy solutions. What are some policy solutions that can help sort of alleviate some of these issues?
There are two main approaches to prostitution policy. One approach is creating more economic opportunities for these individuals, with the understanding that a lot of people, they don't have any other real viable options. And so that's how their pathway into the industry begins. And then the other main policy focus is to decrease demand, to take away any sort of profit opportunities for third parties to enter. And focusing on one, it has really perverse outcomes. So if you just focus on creating economic opportunities, those who sort of have other options then or have the ability to leave the industry once they're given another option, that's great for them. But if you have the same amount of demands, then you still have this profit opportunity and it creates kind of a vacuum. So you'll just see those individuals sort of replaced with trafficked individuals. And then on the other hand, if you just focus on the demand, what happens is that the same number of individuals that are in the industry, since a lot of this is survival sex and some element is trafficked, they don't really have the option to just leave the industry because, you know, prices have changed. And so they'll stay in the industry and they're just sort of competing. And so it creates a worse and more exploitative environment for those individuals who are still in the industry.
I'm curious to know how you go about that. How do you decrease the demand for sex? And then also, if that happens, it sounds like what you're saying is it creates more competition and which could lead to lower prices, which then means these folks who are doing it for survival may have to engage in even more of that to make it happen. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say, especially considering if it's more difficult for those who are doing it for survival, if it's more difficult for them to identify buyers, then that creates a sort of perfect recruitment pitch for pimps. And so the harder it is for those who are engaged in the survival sex to sort of directly meet and create dates with the clients, the more it creates that opportunity for third parties. But the natural sort of focus on decreasing demand usually revolves around, you know, doing stings on the buyers, so arresting buyers, increasing penalties. Some people focus on, like, shaming campaigns. So there are a lot of different strategies that can fall under that policy goal.
I do want to ask you about Lake Tahoe, because that was a point of distinction in this report. And it actually says that Lake Tahoe has the highest intensity of Backpage sex workers on the heat map for northern Nevada and the eastern Sierras. So why do you suspect that Lake Tahoe is such a hotbed of this activity?
When we looked that up, Lake Tahoe actually ranked within the top 10% of all cities and towns nationally, which is very significant given that it doesn't have its own Backpage site. The nearest Backpage site is Reno. So there are enough mentions of Lake Tahoe within these ads to still pull it up to the top 10% per capita across the U.S. So it definitely holds nationally and regionally, not just within the Nevada area, that Lake Tahoe is deserving of attention. Now, why that's the case? Demand often creates the market, and the literature really suggests that demand is the result of a lot of males with expendable income, this sort of transient vacation-like experience, and the Reno area definitely falls within that category. Lake Tahoe as sort of a vacation spot as well. That environment where they're away from home, where it's an entertainment-like experience, that can often filter them into, you know, purchasing sex in the commercial sex industry.
What's the next step for this project? Are there full reports or updates coming out?
One thing that we are trying to do in general with our Backpage data is trying to move towards identifying that portion that's trafficking. One of the ways that we're doing that is by sort of mixing in our research designs, right? So identifying potential risk based on online data, but then also sampling those in the industry locally to sort of determine if our assumptions are right. The goal is to be able to identify the portion that's trafficking on Backpage.
Krista Price is the co-director of the Human Trafficking Initiative, which looks at the prevalence of the commercial sex industry. Krista, thanks for your time.
Thank you.